Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are cleared to know the truth. So this week, Josh, You get answers. Everybody gets answers.
Yeah, I came to the right recording. That's good.
Yeah, it was a very concise, well played out, tight mid-season finale.
For a little bit there, I thought everything was going to be all wrapped up neatly like a Christmas bow.
Well, it kind of was, but, you know, like, it was one of those ones that someone shook a little too much, and it kind of started leaking out that back corner, I think, so.
Leaking, huh? Okay. Oh, wow. Can't wait to see what I got from you this year.
What's in the box, Josh? What's in the box?
Oh.
So.
Better open that fast.
So,
all right. Well, I am ready this week to create life.
Well, you might want to get a girlfriend first.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm ready to create Netflix and chill. Then is probably all I'm really ready to create.
Well, we've got a lot of cool stuff to talk about. There is a lot of interesting things that we might be able to create today. Some interesting news. And, you know, as far as a holiday episode goes, this really doesn't qualify. I found nothing that was holiday-ish about it, but that is fine. I don't feel like my TV shows don't necessarily always have to address the season that they're in. It really makes it a lot more timely to not put that in there, especially with S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, that seems kind of
That would have maybe kind of thrown off the pace a little bit if Eli Morrow would have, you know, just created some jingle bells, you know, out of thin air, just for the heck of it. But
little nog,
yeah.
But cool.
Sometimes it works. In this one, it probably wouldn't have worked.
Chestnuts roasting on an open ghostwriter, you know.
That probably would have worked.
Yeah, it's fine for, you know, shows with, you know, family situations to, you know, I think do like a holiday episode. Like, I don't feel like the Flash episode this week was too weird with, you know, with holiday stuff. But for whatever reason, S.H.I.E.L.D. just would not fit in that.
No, I agree.
And I don't.
You're saying Eli and Robbie aren't a family? How dare you?
You know, did you watch the episode?
Just because they're not your traditional family, you know, that's.
They're not even dysfunctional. They are like way down that road. So, well, hey, why don't you tell us about this particular episode that leads into the winter hiatus?
It does, because it aired December 6th of 2016. It was only episode 8 of season 4.
Yeah, we lost one or two due to holidays and other events, but hey, more for the back end, I guess.
There you go. That's what they keep telling me as I walk out the door. But the title of the episode was The Laws of Inferno Dynamics. Quite possibly my favorite title of any episode in this series so far. I just really liked the way they worked that in there. But written by Paul geez. Just help me out. I can't do it.
Byzuski.
Paul Byzuski. All right? Everybody pretend like you heard me say it right the first time.
Yeah, the leading Z is silent.
I had that one down for a while, and then he hadn't been around for
a while. He hasn't been around. Yeah, that's exactly true.
It was directed by – because people kept mispronouncing his name, so he stormed off. But directed by Kevin Tancheroen. and written by Paul Bizewski. Okay, there we go. Well, you know, Eli Morrow is about to make a big, big move.
Oh, good.
I mean, he's been planning this, I think, sitting in prison, just getting ready to do what he's going to do. I'm not even talking about the mysterious ground-shaking quakes that seem to be randomly popping up around the building where he implements his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the media thinks it's Daisy, right?
Yeah, right.
Which doesn't really reflect well on her public relations right now, but
nope.
Back at S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters, Director Mace tries to come up with a course of action with Coulson leading the mission. We'll put Coulson in charge because he'll know what to do. He wants the director, Coulson wants the director to let him pick the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes Yo-Yo.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, not so bad. Daisy, oh, hey, come on now. Robbie, whoa. And the newly outed as an android, Ada.
Oh, see, now, for a second there, I thought you were just picking your Christmas list with your Yo-Yo, your Daisy rifle, and then
okay.
Robbie. I couldn't figure out what that was.
Robbie the robot, maybe.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Well, except the Ada's the robot, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of
it's all mixed up. That's okay. Santa will figure it out. So now, while Ada being an android comes as a shock to just about everyone, they don't have a lot of time to debate this because while developing his powers in a quest to achieve the ability to create life, Eli may just blow up half the city with his new bomb. Now, Fitz and Simmons analyze this from afar and determine that Eli's powers aren't exactly what he thought they were. And, surprise, he's putting everyone in jeopardy. Especially Robbie.
I'll take elements for 300, Alex.
Yeah, he's completely putting Robbie in danger, who thought he'd have the upper hand, but he really got the shaft instead.
Oh.
Now, finally, the team, using all their strengths, works cooperatively, and they make Eli pay. But Robbie is gone, and Ada is shot. Luckily, you know what? They have a short little vacation to enjoy before any other bad things happen. Oh, nope. Hold on. Nope. Ada's bad. Yep. She's not in a good place at all. No.
Oh.
That's not working out. Mm.
I might have to quibble with the fact that she's bad, but we'll come back to that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just to kind of set up the discussion is all.
I understand. Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, this is the last episode of the 2016 season. Thank you very much for joining us up until this point. We will be taking a brief hiatus along with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. When the show returns on January 10th, Tuesday, January 10th, not very long at all, literally about as long a break as we had before 2 weeks ago. 4 weeks total, right? I mean, that's not too bad at all. Now, good news is, if you were watching the show live, I don't know if this was on the streaming version of the service or if your DVR gets it or whatever, but they had a commercial at the end. There is a new 6-part digitally streamed series that will be showing up on the ABC app for your devices, as well as at abc.go.com, called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Slingshot. Now, not to be confused with the Slingshot space program that takes the weird elements that they found back in season one and puts them up in space, but Slingshot is Yo-Yo's code name, from what I am to understand. And this 6-part episode or 6-part series.
Because Yo-Yo's not a good enough code name.
That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. They call her Yo-Yo and Slingshot. So, everybody's got to have multiple code names, I guess, or something like that. You know, Tremors and Quake, you know, for Daisy and stuff like that. Anyway, a 6-part series will be showing up online, all 6 episodes from what we understand, next Tuesday, which is December 13th, and it's free to watch, and it's going to tell about Elena's story and kind of how she joined with the team and what she was doing between season 3 and season 4. So, you know, actually, you and I might have to have an early Christmas break and come back and talk to everybody about this before S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back on January 10th.
Oh, I would love that, actually. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that would be cool. Considering that this, my guess, now I have nothing to base this on, but it's six parts, so my thought is they're probably going to be, I'm guessing, like 8 to 10 minutes a piece, which would seem about right. And if that's the case, then it's like we get a whole extra episode when you put them all together, which that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. That's a little Christmas present to us. I like that.
And if it's, and you know, I mean, if it's producing with the same quality and stuff like this, I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be canon. We're going to get more stories about Elena, and hopefully, you know, we're going to find out some stuff that, you know, we can use to understand the character better as she continues through the rest of season four, assuming she will continue with the team at this point. It looks like, I'd say it's probably a pretty good chance she's going to hang around here.
I hope so. It looks like she's got a little bit of story left to tell.
Yeah, yeah. She got a new little lip lock from Mac. So I think she's stuck.
See, there's your holiday scene. See, they were standing under the mistletoe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's possible. So, all right. So, well, let's get into talking about the laws of Inferno Dynamics. I always want to say thermal dynamics. It's a great play on words, as you mentioned. But before we actually get into talking too in-depth about this particular episode, I think we finished recording last week, and probably within like an hour, you texted me and said, oh my God, I completely forgot to talk about something that happened last week. And what's great is it's, you know, the storyline is still continuing. So I'm going to give you the floor, Josh, and why don't you tell everybody about what you thought about and you wanted to include last week, but you neglected to.
Yeah, I think of these things in the shower, right?
So, of course, and yeah. And
last time we tried to record in the shower, it didn't go well, so I can't do that anymore. But at the end of the episode last week when we saw Ada was, you know, creating the brain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, throughout the episode, Eli was using carbon as a weapon. At least we assumed that's what it was. And at the time, we didn't know if he could do anything else, but or where that was going. So I got to kind of thinking about what the two of them were doing. So we have this artificial intelligence android, you know, mechanical being who is developing, building a form of life, right? Or what, you know, looked like life. Well, I'm assuming an LMD, you know, we don't really know all the details yet, but that's certainly what it appears to be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Eli was coming up with carbon, and we know a little bit from the beginning of the season where they were trying to, you know, develop foods so there would be no more hunger and things like that, and, you know, just things that would grow. And I got to thinking about carbon and how that's like the basis or the building block, I guess, of life, of
right.
all
I mean,
life, right?
Right. We're carbon-based life forms as opposed to some other element that is, you know, that is the element that makes up people, the majority
right.
of people.
Yeah, so the majority of people. Some people aren't.
No. Some people are not carbon copies. They are their own person.
Yeah, I can see that too. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting how those two kind of, I guess maybe contradicted each other, but also at the same time had similarities.
It is. I mean, and both these characters, you know, Red from the Darkhold, which obviously
that's right.
we don't know what. You know, it's telling them, and you know, Radcliffe this week even still seemed really shaken by it. As an aside, I am still afraid actually that Mace will get his hands on the Darkhold because I still don't trust this guy.
I know
he's all over the place.
It's very odd. I actually am kind of digging on his character because he's such an unknown right now. You know, I mean, right away when this series started, you kind of knew who to trust right away without any question. Of course, they threw that down the toilet with one character, but that was good too. That made it more interesting. That character became instantly more interesting.
Yes.
As soon as he became a bad guy. Grant Ward, right. Because we couldn't trust him. So that's what I kind of like about this Mace character is that we don't know exactly what to think. There's times when you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, this dude's a hero. And then, yeah. So I'm with you. I don't want him to get a hold of the Darkhold. I also find the fact that what's his name? Now I forgot his name. The doctor.
Oh, Radcliffe.
What? Radcliffe. Why? I don't know what his – I was thinking Holden. About Grant Ward. Sorry. I'm curious as why Radcliffe is so hesitant to do it. It almost seems out of character for him because you know how he was so gung-ho about getting new knowledge of creating things last year. Remember about combining the mechanical and the biological. And
right.
It seems like this would be the perfect opportunity to know just about everything he needed to know, and yet – he's kind of scared of it.
Well, I think, based just on that one scene from last week's episode, he looked in the book, you know, and we had that shot. It was a really dramatic, dynamic shot where we were kind of in the table looking up just past the book, straight up at his eyes. It was very much, I was waiting for when he opened the book to have it kind of glow in his face, you know, kind of like in Pulp Fiction where Barbarino opens up the suitcase and it, you know, glows and, you know, you don't know what he's seeing, but you know, it's evil.
What? Where?
oh, yeah, we're good. but you know, he's a smart enough guy to realize that there is, you know, that this is really not meant for mankind.
Right.
But he's not quite smart enough to realize that it may not be for android kind either. You know, because he was a little drunk with power at the end there when Ada was working on her art project, as it were. So
I'm sure it was power he was drunk on. He might have been something else.
Yeah.
Jack Daniels, maybe.
Jack Daniels and a little bit of power.
And a little bit of power.
Just a splash of power, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just, because we're on the subject of Ada here, let's just go ahead and continue on with that discussion. She was very useful. That she served the exact purpose I wanted to see for an LMD, except it didn't quite go down the way I was thinking it would. But she got shot. She was in pain, but she stepped right in front of the bullet and protected our team, which, you know, I think even as far as last season, end of last season, when we were talking about this, I said this is kind of what I wanted to see. This is what my idea of an LMD is. Now, in the comic books, LMDs have only ever – well, I'm gonna append this in the fact that I don't recall every LMD story, but – all the ones that I'm recalling from my most recent rereadings of S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, the classic ones with Kirby and Lee, they are tools used by Nick Fury. They don't really achieve a sentience. They do what they've been programmed to do, which is to imitate, in this case, Nick Fury. But they don't really seem to have a sentience, which Ada does. Ada is thinking and making decisions for herself now. And we find out at the end of the episode that she has kidnapped, assaulted, and is keeping Agent May in her little cubicle. So do you think that when Ada was making the brain, do you think that she already had a plan that she was going to be taking over Agent May, or was this just kind of a schematic that she was working on? What are your thoughts there?
That was my big question about this. If that was the plan all along to go for May. I know that Coulson, or no, I guess it was Mace that assigned May to return Ada, right? And so she was
to get Ada to bring her to the base or whatever.
Oh, that's right, because they wanted to keep her there because they're gonna take all of the data and information from Radcliffe that he'd been gathering and put it at Shield Base.
But so, also Mace wanted Ada to help with the science team. So he was setting up Coulson and the tactical team, and then Ada and the science team to work on the problem, like the two-prong assault.
Right. Okay. So that's what May was on her way to do that, or yeah. went there to do that. So I don't know if it was just convenience, but you know that would have been pretty quick to get May LMD all prepared. Now I don't know how long it takes, right? But you know, we saw her already starting something last week before any of this went down.
So
before they got Eli, she got shot.
Right. I will argue that Ada was not starting something last week. Ada was finishing something last week.
Ooh.
I will argue that when Agent May earlier in the season was infected by the ghosts. I can't remember. We don't have a good name for whatever that was, but she was infected and her brain was kind of going haywire. She was taken somewhere to convalesce. Where was that? And who was her nurse?
It was Ada. She was at Radcliffe's. Well, she was with Radcliffe and Ada was the one assisting.
Yep.
That's
so
right. Okay.
That would have given Ada complete time to find out all sorts of stats about her. Now, things...
So just like biological stuff, like her body makeup and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she could have been building... Ada could have been building a body up till that point and didn't have a way to do anything with the brain. My question, of course, is there was specific things that May and Coulson talked about. Drinking this bottle of whatever, this alcoholic beverage that they talked about. They were finally going to crack that open. And at the beginning of the episode, May said that she was looking forward to that. Like, she seemed to recall that fact.
Right.
And she didn't really say anything about it when he poured the drink, but she was kind of still going along with it at the end of the episode. It's what seems weird is that May would go to pick up the way I think it worked is May went to go pick up Ada. Ada hit her on the head, knocked her out, and substituted the May LMD. And we're gonna have to figure out a way to talk about these characters when there's multiple versions of them on the show coming up in the next season. So we need to think about that. So the May LMD then is the one that comes back with Ada. So I don't know, like 15, 20 minutes into the episode, it was interesting because Coulson said something to May and she responded just like May would. And then she said, yep, just following orders, which is, I feel, the LMD talking. And of course it's very, double entendre because she is following Ada's orders, not necessarily Coulson's orders.
Now,
but
what,
the fact that she downloaded her brain is weird. I don't know how that works.
I do have a question about that because May was at the party, right?
Yeah.
That's where she was drinking with Coulson. But
yeah.
Ada was not there yet. Mm-hmm. Ada was still back with the real May.
Right.
So why was the LMD May already back without Ada?
The LMD May came
thing?
Back with Ada at the beginning of the episode when Ada showed up with the science team at the beginning. So the episode started, Mace said, May, you're going to go on a milk run and get Ada. And May was like, oh, great. And Coulson does his thing. And then like 5 minutes later, you know, it flashes forward a little bit and Ada comes off the plane with May. But that, I believe, was the May LMD.
Okay. All right. I gotcha.
So basically the May that was fighting at the end of the episode with everybody, that's the LMD.
Oh, my gosh.
So okay. I think the LMD has been around, you know, she was around basically like 75% of the episode.
Okay. See, I guess that wasn't, just didn't occur to me. I just thought that was at the end.
Yeah.
So you think, wow, that LMD May, the L May D, what is a good fighter and everything, just like May, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, again, I'm not sure how they would really explain all this working. And again, just the downloading of her brain, like, I mean, it still takes me a good amount of time to copy, like, you know, 5 terabytes from my computer, even on a really quick USB 3.0 setting. So, you know, a brain's got to be, you know, way more than that. I just...
That's what it says on the thumb drive that you have to buy to download the brain. It's well, way more than that.
Wouldn't be a thumb drive. It would be a brain drive.
Good point. Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Thumb drive. I mean, geez, how smart is your thumb? You don't need a whole lot of stuff there. So anyway, so as you said in your opening, you know, that Ada's gone bad. So, are you prescribing a motive for the character's actions at this point?
No. And really all I meant by that was, she bad. No, I just mean that she's dangerous now and that she's making decisions that are, obviously harmful to people. Well, at least, you know, Agent, what was his name?
Nathanson?
Nathanson, right.
Oh, poor dude. So, yeah, what I thought originally was going to happen was he was going to look in there and he was going to see himself. That's what I was, like, freaking out about. But then she, like, kills him because, I mean, how cool would that have been? But that wouldn't have really meant anything to us as, you know, on the show, because who is right. this guy? So now the fact that she kills him, that's going to raise some red flags, and that's going to be a problem that's going to have to be overcome.
Especially with him.
Right. So, but yeah, I don't think that she's necessarily bad, but you know, she's been corrupted and, you know, in both senses of the word, her operating system has been corrupted, you know, fragmented or, you know, whatever. And like in terms of a virus, but also the character is corrupt, you know, doing things that are, what we can probably assume against the directives that Holden Radcliffe had given her. So it'll really be interesting. I would assume that we will probably see them figure out that something is wrong with her really quick, because of she does seem to be acting out of character a little bit, and especially when they realize Nathanson is missing or dead or, you know, whatever.
Well, based on the fact that the second half of the season is called LMD, I'm guessing that, yeah, they're going to find that out pretty quick.
Yeah, at least part of the rest of the season is called LMD. We don't know if all 12 episodes are going to be that. But, yeah, so that's awesome that they're teasing that. And she does look like she goes a little off the rails based on some of the teaser clips we saw in the very, very, very brief footage from what I'm guessing is just the next couple episodes here. So, but I'm really excited to see this. It's as Mace had mentioned earlier, you know, didn't anyone learn anything from Ultron? And, you know, yep, you know, we created a power here that is possibly out of our control, and it looks like, you know, someone's going to pay the price. I'm guessing Radcliffe will probably have to atone for this in some fashion. So,
which is too bad, because I like him.
Yep, I do too. But what is great about this is it really does open us. Like, let's assume that they fix the problem, and, you know, are everybody is safe ish. It really opens it up to them embracing LMD technology, and, you know, once they get appropriate safeguards in place. Because, I mean, again, I really want to see, I want to know that an agent's going into a dangerous situation and we never are sure if it's an LMD or the real agent. And, you know, when something bad goes down, you know, it, that will give us, you know, pause to really be fearful for our characters, because we won't know. So, and you know, who knows, maybe other characters right now in the show have been replaced and we just don't know. There were three doors there and only one of them was opened. It did look like there were other shadows inside the other two cases. I can't be 100% sure on that, but who knows?
Might have a whole team in there. Maybe Grant Ward's coming back.
You know, I wouldn't put it past them. That would really piss Daisy off now that she's back on the team. She's like, "Are you kidding me?" So
yeah, if I were her, I'd be like, "Nope, I'm out. Sorry, I'm done."
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the title of the episode, which, as I mentioned, is a play on the phrase "the laws of thermodynamics," and the fact that they use inferno, which implies fire and heat. I thought it was really clever. Just to make sure everybody is aware of what the laws of thermodynamics, we're going to have a quick physics course here. So, like many universal laws, there are three of them. Newton, I believe, was one of the first people to decide that, you know, the rule of three, right? If one's good, two's better, you know, and then you always have to have a third thing. So the first law, which is the law of conservation of energy, as they mentioned, I think Fitz was mentioning this in the episode, is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed in an isolated system, and we assume that the universe is such a system. The second law is that entropy of any isolated system always increases. And obviously you know what entropy is, right?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. That is the trope of N.
Right, right. And then the third law is that the entropy of a system approaches a constant value as the temperature approaches absolute zero. So basically the colder a system gets, the movement of that system drops proportionately there with it. So I thought that was pretty clever that they set that up right off the top of the bat, because it kind of gave, at least it gave me an idea as to what was going on. You know, we saw Eli creating all of these pieces of material, but as we found out in one of the earlier episodes, that I think that when we saw one of the flashbacks, they talked that they were actually pulling this matter from another dimension. I want to say that Joseph, I think, had mentioned something like that. And with the tie-ins to Doctor Strange and alternate dimensions, and the fact that the Ancient One talks about how it's not really magic that they're doing, they're just pulling energy from another dimension. You know, it all kind of makes sense. It's a really interesting way to give a pseudo-scientific explanation to something that is completely out there, you know, and miraculous, you know, magic, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, that it worked really well. Now, I have to ask you a question. I don't want to take credit for something if I didn't do it, but I was talking to somebody about this, about Eli last week, before we kind of had the scientific explanation of it, and I had mentioned that it was, you know, impossible because of the law of conservation of mass, which I think Coulson mentioned to Eli, and you know, Fitz was explaining that, of course, too. But yeah. Did I mention that on the show last week, or was I just talking to somebody randomly?
I think it was somebody else. I don't remember us having a conversation.
I don't want to take I don't want to take credit for that, but I mean, it's not a stretch for me to make that connection because, quite honestly, that is a concept that I teach my fifth graders. So, you know, Eli was going off about how he was very intelligent and educated, and I believe him on that, and I believe that he was not treated fairly. But you know, I'm just saying, conservation of mass, that's something that fifth graders know about. So he should have known that.
And I took a little offense at that, but at the same time, the dude can create stuff out of nothing. So he's, as Coulson said, a little drunk on the Powerade. I mean, he's not thinking straight. I mean, he is really, I mean, literally, he's off the rails here. He's crazy. He's just...
Well, and that could... But, that almost certainly could be from the Darkhold, because it did that to everybody that has read it so far.
That is true. It does... it seems to have a will that it is trying to enforce upon the people that have read it. So it... You know, like... It's very similar to what happened with Robbie. Robbie sold his soul to the devil, basically, in order to survive and keep his brother safe and avenge those that, get vengeance on the people that caused this. But in order to get that power, the Ghost Rider takes something from him. And so Darkhold's working in the same way. In order to get that power, it's leaving a little bit of itself with you and having you enforce its will, which, you know, is chaos. Very, again, similar to stuff we saw in Agent Carter with the with the dark matter and how nutso Whitney Frost got. Wanting to, you know, bring more of this matter across the dimensional barrier and stuff.
See? So going down that dark path, it always makes you nutso.
Yeah, nutso. with the other dimensional qualities and the large discussion of conservation of energy, conservation of mass, and all that kind of stuff, what about this nuclear explosion or this atomic explosion that they save, you know, the science team is able to save the city, lots of lives, by basically opening a portal in the floor and sucking in the cube with the explosion and closing it, I'm assuming, kind of right as it went off. That's for all the whatever living in the other dimension, that could ruin your day real quick.
It could. I was thinking about that too, because I worried about, you know, dimension dwellers. But in the movie Doctor Strange, I think they explained that, like, they'll train in the mirror dimension because it doesn't affect anything in, like, I guess, this dimension, right?
Correct.
So maybe a similar thing would happen, you know, and they were in Doctor Strange, but none of this is spoilers. So if you're get irritated by that, I don't think this will ruin anything. But you know, they're fighting in these dimensions, and buildings are changing, but you can still see things going on. You know, cars driving in very strange ways, none of their actions are affecting the thing here. So maybe the explosion would be very similar. It wouldn't necessarily do any damage to anything significant because it's in a different dimension. Who knows?
No, that's a really good thought. I didn't even consider potentially the mirror dimension in that aspect. But it's true.
Not to say it wouldn't hurt somebody that went in there with it. So yeah. My guess would be that Eli is completely dead. I mean...
Well, Eli was already dying because I think the Ghost Rider was taking his vengeance.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Robbie, on the other hand, I mean, Eli was already saying how much Robbie was able to withstand. You know, I mean, obviously having two giant spikes protruding from your chest, I mean, that's enough to probably damage any normal person. So obviously, Robbie is kind of special.
I can't concentrate when I have a hangnail, so yeah.
I know what you mean. I've got one right now that's bothering the heck out of me, just, you know, dry weather and stuff like that. Anyway, so the, you know, Robbie is apparently gone, and, you know, it makes sense. They've kind of done, you know, if they're going to get rid of Eli, they've kind of get rid of Ghost Rider. And if, I guess if they want to bring him back, they can. But if they don't want to do anything else with him, they just, you know, he's just gone. So there was this piece of dialogue when Daisy and Coulson was talking, and she says, do you think Robbie will make it back? And he says, I don't know. The last Ghost Rider did. And she was like, wait, what are you talking about? So here's my question. Does Coulson know about actually an other Ghost Rider? Is there like the one that came to give Robbie his powers? Does Coulson know about that one? Or are we discussing what happened with Mac being possessed by the Ghost Rider and that, that returning from the, that Ghost Rider returning from the other dimension there?
That's a good, I didn't think about Mac being the one, but it, he seemed to brush it off pretty easily, pretty quickly with Daisy. So I don't know that it, if he was talking about Mac, I don't know that he necessarily would have kind of dismissed it like that.
Well, he was talking about the Ghost Rider, which left Mac to go back into Robbie in the other dimension, and then they were able to find their way out of that space in between dimensions.
Is that what he's talking about? Just based on Robbie coming back?
I don't know. That's the thing. It was ambiguous enough, and it wouldn't put it past me. You know, Coulson knows all sorts of crazy stuff about heroes.
That's how
and
I
stuff.
Took it. I took it as he knows something. He knows somebody else, another Ghost Rider. He didn't say, you know, you think Robbie will make it back? Well, he did last time. He said the last Ghost Rider did.
Yes.
So
Meaning, like the previous Ghost Rider.
Right. I think he's talking about a different individual other than Robbie.
And that's what's cool about the Ghost Rider. It doesn't have to be Robbie that comes back. It can be any other character. I mean, because Ghost Rider, kind of like Deadman in the DC universe, can, you know, take over anyone's body. So, okay. Well, do you think Robbie really has paid his debt now? Is he dead, or is he like living in some kind of hellish other world still linked?
We don't really know what his deal with the demon was, right? I mean, he said that he wanted to take care of Eli, right? He wanted to make sure that Eli paid, or he wanted to kill Eli, or I don't even know exactly what his main plan was, but just to stop him for sure. But we don't know what he had to give the demon in return. So is he doomed for all eternity now, or did he have to go to hell himself? Or so that was the big mystery to me. What's going to happen to Robbie now? Could he show up again? Could he just kind of go back to what he was doing, where he's, you know, working at the shop and taking care of his brother, but he's taking vengeance out on people that supposedly deserve it.
Right. The ones that don't pay their bills on time or whatever.
Yeah. Bounce checks.
Right. Or, you know, throw cigarette butts out their car window or something like that.
Oh, I hate that.
And how messed up is Daisy? She's going to give Gabe Robbie's car? I mean, come on. It's like, hey, I know you're in a wheelchair, but here's a car.
It's like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Come on.
Yeah, no. That is kind of... That's a,
it is. I mean, no, I understand what she meant by it. It's, you know, I think it's a nice gesture. I would like to see more about Gabe. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot more story here. Unfortunately, I feel like, you know, they're really not going to do anything more with it at this point. They've got other tales to tell. you know, with Ghost Rider around, if you're dealing with LMDs, you know, that could make, you know, he could make swift work of it probably because, I don't know, maybe he could tell that they're not real or something like that. We don't know. I don't think they were ever
introduced. I think he's gone. If he shows up again, it would just be for a cameo episode, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Mace, I always want to think Mace is his first name. Jeffrey Mace, right?
That's Jeffrey.
Jeffrey is his first name.
You can call him Jeffrey if you want. I just always think of the Big Lebowski when you when you call him Jeffrey.
I go back to Bill Cosby's routine.
Oh,
Jeffrey,
yes.
Jeffrey. so the Patriot, which is Jeffrey Mace's comic book alter ego, gets his costume this week. I thought that was a pretty cool. It was Captain America-esque. I don't know if you noticed on the S.H.I.E.L.D. Logo or the bird logo, there were little the lines were red, white, and blue. It was very the colors were very subdued. I'm going to try to get a good screenshot of that. Yeah, yeah. So
now, I have a question about his uniform. You call it a uniform or a costume? I was wondering this as I was jotting down notes this week.
I called it a costume, but I mean, I guess it's like a uniform, kind of like Daisy's suit,
yeah,
or maybe it's a suit. You know,
so his goal for wearing that was to kind of show off what he can do, right? As the director, he said, "Time to see the director in action." Or something like that. So.
What did he do?
Yeah, I mean, they were in the building. He did stuff. I mean, he looked like he was fighting and stuff, but nobody was in there to witness it. So when exactly did they see him in action? Really, he just came out in his flashy uniform, talked a little bit about Daisy, and then...
He gave some PR action, some wicked PR action to those...
That is part of his power right there.
Those biased TV reporters there. Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. We didn't actually see him. Well, I mean, we saw him do something, but you're right. He didn't really show off. But maybe, you know, seeing him in his tactical gear like that is what, you know, would drive some stuff. And there was probably other discussion. We just didn't get into that.
His,
you know?
His uniform did remind me a bit of the comic book S.H.I.E.L.D., like you said, tactical gear that they sometimes wear, just those black outfits, you know, that are kind of tighter and they have their stuff with them, that their belts and all that stuff. So it did remind me of that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was still clashing a little bit with Coulson this week as well. Not surprisingly, they kind of got down into the nitty gritty about a, you know, real fundamental difference about how they feel the job of director should be accomplished. And you know, Mace feels that, you know, he's running it the way that he's running it, which is, incorrectly stated by him, you know, that he's completely above board. Whereas Phil is, you know, running with, fugitives and, killers and stuff like this. But as Coulson then, you know, correctly points out, and we've, you know, we saw over the past few seasons, Phil plays it. He mostly follows the rules, but he's a little loose and fast with the rules. He bends the rules where he needs to get stuff accomplished, which I think you would probably agree that's what Nick Fury did as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Nick took, you know, the job, or, you know, took things into his own hands there.
Did you ever get the impression? I kind of had a little bit of a feeling as Mace was talking to Coulson that Mace was almost thinking that he wasn't completely sure of what to do or if he was doing the right thing. And he was almost trying to get Coulson to pitch in and help a little bit. Did you ever get that impression? Or did it seem like he was always in charge?
I felt like maybe he was, you know, longing to basically like give this back to Coulson potentially.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
yeah, it was a weird dynamic in the way they talk, because sometimes their discussion is on the level of like, you know, I'm the boss and, you know, you're the agent. And other times it's much more of a peer relationship. Like, hey, I know you've done this job.
You know it's hard.
You know, help me out and try to help me understand how you had done this, Phil. So it switches back and forth with that. I'm also just questioning something else right now that I'm thinking of. He tells us he's an Inhuman, right? But I mean, do we have any proof that he's an Inhuman? Could he not be an LMD? Could he not have been like an original LMD that, I mean, not that Radcliffe, like everybody seems to believe Ada is the first one and Radcliffe really does that. I haven't seen anything that kind of suggests to me that Radcliffe actually built Mace early on, but okay, there's just something weird going on with him and Coulson and the job, like how he got in the position that he is.
Yeah.
I
don't know if he's an LMD, but maybe not Inhuman. You know, I mean, we also saw Robbie with powers as Ghost Rider, and he's not an Inhuman. So there's
and we've got aliens,
Asgardians, and aliens.
Yeah.
And so there's other possibilities. So maybe he's not Inhuman. Maybe it's something else.
But we did find out that it was kind of cool. Coulson really seemed to think that he did want an. Well, maybe he is Inhuman because like Daisy says that. Having an Inhuman as the director's shield, that's kind of weird. And he's like, yeah, but it's not the one I wanted, implying that he was really trying to get Daisy to, or he really wanted to have Daisy be the leader, which I thought was kind of amusing because, and then she makes the joke about, well, maybe in the comic book version, because of course in the comics, Quake, did lead shield for, a bit of time. So, and as we also see this week, they are not a team that trusts. They are still having troubles, but they got a lot closer when Mace kind of pitched in and helped out with the team. I thought that was a great sequence with Yo-Yo. I thought something was wrong. I thought the episode froze for a moment. Did you get that at the end when they were doing the fight when Mace hits the guy and then all of a sudden everything stops and I'm like, oh, what a crappy place for the for the episode to freeze up, because I get digital glitches and stuff all the time. So, but then Yo-Yo comes in and I like the way they did the effect with her where every like heartbeat there's an after image of her, you know, behind her in the wake of her path and stuff. I thought that was just really, really cool.
It was a neat way to do somebody. Yeah, you know, we've seen quite a few speedsters in the comic book genre lately, so I like that they'd made this one a little bit different.
Right, and she works differently than like Quicksilver did in Age of Ultron and etc.
Right.
So, Mac and Yo-Yo sitting in a tree.
Yeah. He was Mac and Yo-Yo, wasn't he?
He was. I can't fault Elena for anything that she says. And I think we've commented on this. Mac's just kind of been on again, off again, you know. Like, he doesn't know how to tell this woman that he loves her. Which is probably all the stuff that he's messed up about from when Ghost Rider reopened his emotional wounds last week.
Yeah, Max obviously got some issues that he's got to deal with. So maybe now that he had that experience with Ghost Rider and he can open up to Elena a little bit and deal with some of these things so he can kind of move on with his life.
So we're going to get to that point where he'll go, I am so happy. And we'll just go, well, Mac, it was a nice run. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't want him to say I'm so happy because that'll be it for him. Maybe he doesn't have to be happy, just sort of, content.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad they kind of realized that, you know, that they've connected now, because there have been, you know, enough awkward moments going on in the episodes leading up to this that I feel it's appropriate, and you know, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And the fact that she calls him Turtle Man again, which is a callback. I don't think she's called him that this season. I think it's a callback to last year, because he's so slow.
That's why she hasn't said really it yet. Funny, she was waiting for a year to say it, so he would catch
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think there are a few other references here. You want to take a couple here?
Sure, absolutely. So, well, you know, we talked a little bit about the other dimensions and how that compares to the Doctor Strange movie. And I think they did it on very purposefully, used the other dimensions around the same time that Doctor Strange came out. And it worked really well.
I thought it was a probably their second best crossover with the November movies, or any of the movies. I think obviously the best crossover was Captain America, Winter Soldier. And then the interaction, like you said, about magic and the dimensional energies and magic books and stuff like that. And then the crossover with Thor: The Dark World was probably the worst.
Yeah, well, it wasn't much to it.
They were just cleaning up. Yeah. So there was a great bit about someone said Ada thinks, and I believe it was Fitz that said, or no, sorry, it was Coulson said maybe yeah. about electric sheep, which very funny if you happen to know that the film Blade Runner is based off of the short story "Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep" by Philip K. Dick, and so though there's really nothing in the movie Blade Runner about that, if you read the original novel, there's some stuff with that. So, and the fact that they do reference her as an android, very much like Vision is an android too. So, hey, maybe those two could hook up at some point.
There you go. He could come around. Maybe he could help her out a little bit. She's having some conflict, I think.
Yeah. What else we got here?
Well, they did talk about Ultron and the Sokovia Accord. So that was important callback. I think they really made a serious effort, and maybe have for a few episodes this season, to connect these movies to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Just by throwing out, you know, Avengers references and Captain America, which while it might seem like self-serving, I think it's important to continue to remind people that even though we might not have the characters from the movies in this TV show, it is a part of that world, and the things that happen there affect it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And it helps being able, because there are some really, I mean, I think Age of Ultron, while not a fabulous movie, I mean, I think there have been better films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it does bring up some really interesting philosophical, you know, commentary that I feel like they're going to be addressing stuff now. I mean, you know, just with androids running amok and, you know, the Sokovia Accords about powered individuals that have to register. Sounds like that's going to be part of what that Slingshot digital series is going to deal with Elena, working on that level. So that's pretty cool. And then finally, Daisy was presented with her lanyard and her blue badge, which is the same as same color that Coulson has. And Simmons laments the fact that it's too bad Agent Koenig isn't here, because, of course, he had a huge love of giving people their lanyards, their official lanyards for S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
I think Agent Koenig would have liked this color system.
You think he would have?
I think
even
he
though
because
nobody understands it.
Nobody understands. He would have made them understand. He would have explained it and made it very clear, I think. But that was his. Well, that was his job, right? So he was very proud of his job.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope they find a way to bring him back at some
Me
point.
Me too.
There's so many, and I've said this before, there's so many great characters that they've introduced on the show, and some of them they've explored and can come back to. But there's others that were kind of just introduced, especially really early on, and in that first season, and they haven't really done a lot with them because there's a lot of other stuff they want to explore, like Deathlok. I'd like to see some more with him as well, too. So I don't know. Who knows? There's possibility for all sorts of really interesting stuff in the second half of the season. I would really like to see them do kind of a three-story season here. You know, the first 8 episodes for Ghost Rider, maybe do 6 or 7 episodes for LMD, and then have another 5 or 6 episodes to close out the season with something else. It's a really interesting way that they set themselves up here.
Yeah, that works for me. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, thanks very much for joining me in 2016 here to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We wish everybody out there very happy holidays and peace on earth, goodwill to men, women, and androids, plus also a very happy new year.
Yes, to all of you. And hey, if you guys enjoy this episode, here's something you can do on your little winter hiatus that you may be on.
Is this on our wish list?
This is on our wish list. I would like to ask this from all of you and from Santa. Leave some feedback for us on iTunes. Pop over there and write a quick little blurb so people know about us and how you like the show, and maybe, you know, give us some stars there too, and that way we'll spread the love with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. And hey, if you want to contact us directly, we'd love to hear from you. We always like getting your comments and your speculation on the show. If you want to email us, our email is shield@randomchatter.com, or you can join us over on Twitter @AgentsPodcast, and of course our Facebook page where there's lots of great photos, screenshots, and other discussions. So you can join us there, facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host here on the Random Chatter Network. Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, and Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. Both of those also going through their winter finales this week. You can find the shows, as I said, at randomchatter.com or on the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please be sure to share us with your friends. We make great stocking stuffers. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Blue Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.